and State Media Concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts social media podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm Sarah.
And with us?
And I'm Heidi.
Yes, so for those of you who listened to the last episode, you will know that Heidi is a new host here at the GSMC Podcast Network, and we're very excited to have her.
Yes, we are.
But we've also invited Sarah so we can have all of our wonderful craziness along with us.
Yeah.
Because all the craziness is with Sarah. That's exactly what it is.
Thanks.
There's none with me.
She likes to blame me for stuff.
That's why you're here, is to look things up and pronounce words and be blamed for things.
Oh, my resume is getting longer.
So Sarah and I, you were with me, I believe, when I spoke, did the Crazy Rich Asians review on the movie podcast.
Yes, I was.
And we talked about the craziness that is Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm-hmm. And then I since have read the book. Yes.
Have you read it?
I listened to the book.
Yeah. Because you told me that the family relations were not any clearer over audio than they were in the movie.
No, but the narrator is amazing.
Yes.
So.
But it is very interesting that Crazy Rich Asians, even though that is a fictional story, does seem actually somewhat based on real life, because Hong Kong has now become the number one place with the most super rich people.
Huh.
Which I mean, if you're already rich, but then super, super rich, crazy rich, I guess. Well, I'm actually upset that they didn't call this the Crazy Rich People. Takes crown as home of crazy rich people. Shame on them.
And what makes someone rich? What makes someone super rich as opposed to just rich?
Yes. So the quote unquote technical term is ultra high net worth.
Ooh,
and this is people who are worth at least $30 million.
Ultra.
Which I'm like, isn't that quite a number of millionaires? But evidently not so much.
Yeah.
So there are over 10,000 crazy rich people in Hong Kong versus only 9,000 in New York.
Oh, New York is slacking.
Right? New York had been number one and Hong Kong has pushed it out the way because it wanted those Gucci shoes. I don't know. I'm not crazy rich. I have no idea what the crazy rich people do.
Just own an island.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, not Hong Kong, I guess. But yeah, so this is very interesting, though, because Hong Kong is just, you know, the city. And it's got more people than anywhere else as far as specific cities go. The other cities for the top 10 were Tokyo, LA, Paris, London, Chicago, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Osaka. Which I find very interesting that there's two in Japan there, because it's just like, is all of Asia becoming crazy rich? And how do I jump on that?
It is called Crazy Rich Asians. It's
right?
Not, they don't specify.
Not specifically Hong Kong or Singapore, just all of Asia is getting lots of rich people. Well, I'm just here. Sad about my lack of richness.
I'm sorry. Maybe you should move to Hong Kong and become rich.
Those go together.
Yes, clearly.
That just happens when you arrive.
Yeah. Right. They
hand you a check and you get the millions.
They give you $10 million and you have to make up the rest of your
right.
No, so as far as countries go, the U.S. is still number one with the most crazy rich people with 80,000, a bit less than 80,000, which just shocks me because I know there are like a lot of millionaires, but I guess they're not all over 30 million. So it's just like, we have less than 100,000
crazy
rich
people. And I'm sure the billionaires only count as, you know, they're still just super rich.
It's right. Not like, it's only one person no matter all your billions.
Yeah.
But then Hong Kong by itself, which again, Hong Kong, I want to call it a city state, but I can just see my 10th grade history teacher shaking his head at me like, that's not what a city state is. It might actually be. But I definitely at that time got confused over what was a state and what was a nation state and what was a nation. And I do apologize, teacher, that I still don't remember that. But Hong Kong by itself beats out the UK, which is amazing because you know, you're a small little place and you beat up Britain, which fine, is also kind of a small little place. But as far as number of really, really rich people, it's also just behind France by 110 people and behind Canada by 830.
Wait, so what's the population of Hong Kong compared to the population of the UK?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, so it's more impressive if there's only 9,000 people in Hong Kong.
Oh, you mean by proportional. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, I know it's definitely got a high population density, but I don't think it's up there as far as like...
7.347 million in 2016. Versus the UK. Hey, I can only type one thing at a time.
Shame on you.
I know.
Ah, why don't you type faster? It's all your fault. No. So yeah, 7.3 million for Hong Kong. That's, again, not a big area.
65.64 million for the UK.
So not quite one-tenth of it and beating out the UK.
Wow.
That's just...
That's a lot of millionaires.
I mean, I know there's that phrase of, like, you can throw a stick and hit whatever, but this kind of...
swing a cat. Except who came up with that phrase, by the way? You can't swing a dead cat. Who's swinging a dead cat?
Tom Sawyer and... Isn't that what he was doing? Was something about a dead cat and cemeteries to get rid of warts. I vaguely remember.
But still.
But yeah, why are you swinging or hitting anything with people? Like, that's kind of mean. And also, especially if you do that in Hong Kong, they're super rich. So they can totally take it.
Super mad.
Like, their lawyer makes more in 10 minutes than you make in like a year.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Don't be swinging or hitting anyone in Hong Kong. But yeah, so it's very interesting because I knew that Asia, as far as a economic power, was coming up in the world because you kept hearing about that. But it's just like super rich people in Hong Kong, which, again, if it was like there's a lot of and there are a lot of super rich people in China, I believe they're number three as far as countries go. But it's just like if you had told me China had the most super rich people. Okay, fine. China has, like, the most people almost, period. So
right.
That
Although,
makes perfect
you
sense.
Know, being a communist country, it is a little strange that now they are having a high concentration of super rich people. But
that whole situation, I still don't understand. I do apologize yet again. High school history
this
teacher.
This is not the geopolitical podcast.
It's really not, and I clearly was not a good student in that. But, yes, for Hong Kong to be the number one over all these other... both cities and countries, even over Tokyo, over LA, over New York. Like, what are they doing in Hong Kong? How do you do this? And since you are an island, is there literally something in the water? When you arrive, you get $10 million
and
the money flowing
of...
water. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was some company that did, like, bottle Hong Kong water because this is good luck water or something.
It tastes like millions.
It tastes like, yeah.
Wouldn't that taste kind of metallic or... papery or
maybe
inky
something.
I mean, probably inky for all the contracts of interthing here you bought for a ridiculous amount of money.
I don't know what that would taste like. Somebody cleverer than I probably could come up with something witty and funny, but
right.
I got nothing.
We're not the best at witty on the moment. Heidi, have you seen Crazy Rich Asians?
I actually have not. I really want to. Everyone keeps telling me about it.
See, and it was a good movie, and I actually felt pretty okay with the fact that they don't throw the Crazy Rich part of it too much into your face, although there is a $40 million wedding.
Yeah, they totally do in the book. Oh my gosh, because everyone is described, so it would be like describing this scene here, and, you know, so Sarah walks into the room, and there's Heidi of the XYZ rude vets, you know,
right.
Like the your whatever, I don't even know what your fan, and Stacy of the Taipei plastic Baldwins,
yes, you know? Exactly.
And their net worth, and I mean, it outlines their net worth, and it's always talking about. They really throw it in your face in the book.
Well, Sam, because of this, I now feel like this must be a bit like that scene at the end of Ocean's 13 where you see all the people's thing when they're doing the con of how much money each person is currently holding.
Yeah.
I feel you could just do that, like, at anywhere in Hong Kong. You walk into a boardroom, you walk into, like, a daycare center. I'm sure that two-year-old is probably worth, like,
right.
Six figures. It's like you walk into the airport, and you could just... I would love to see the actual, like, floaty little... bubbles of what you're worth over people's head.
That's horrible. I don't want my net worth above my head.
No, I don't want to see mine. Just to see, like, you know, if you color-coded them by, oh, you're worth, oh, you know, this many of 5 million, this little range, to see what the colors would be and where they, like, thin and be like, oh, all the oranges are
what
in this area.
What color would it be for, like, massively in debt?
Negative.
Just dark red.
Red is always red.
A big sad face emoji.
But then I wonder, like, if the super rich... if amongst the super rich, they're super, super rich, and they're, like, in one little part of Hong Kong. and be like, oh, what, you're only worth $32 million? You're not allowed in
here. You're on the other side of the tracks.
Like, you have your own, right? You poor, poor thing. You only worth 30. I was like, I'll take your place. Yeah. I will totally be worth
back
only
to your
32
slightly
million.
Smaller mansion.
Right, exactly. With your slightly only 20 servants instead of 50.
I don't know how you survive.
Yes. So, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, continuing our trend of talking about people who are much richer than I ever will be. In Australia, miners found more than $11 million worth of gold.
Whew.
But not in a gold mine, because they have so much more luck than I do, seriously.
What, they just stumble over it?
No, so they were actually mining, but this was in a nickel mine. Which, I mean, like, okay, nickel's money and you do mine for it, but that was totally not what would ever have crossed my mind of, like, a mine. It's like, oh, yeah, nickel. We actually need that 5-cent thing.
It's just lots of piggy banks.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure it's used for other stuff. I don't know what it is off
piping,
the top of my
no,
head.
No, I got nothing. Yeah, so this mine, the owners had actually been trying to sell it since April, but they themselves actually suspected that there was gold in it. Which I now have that there's gold in the Mare Hill thing. I apologize. I just could not get that without saying that. But so this was 9,250 ounces. And since we don't really do ounces, this was a huge, like, 3-foot by 3-foot thing that they broke down into, like, 3 cantaloupe-sized chunks.
Cantaloupe-sized chunks.
I mean, I can't divide 9,000 whatever by 16 in my head quickly. So, you know, but... How many pounds is that?
Yeah, I mean, these things look heavy, and it's not like solid gold, like a big shiny nugget. It's within rock itself. So at first it doesn't seem that much, although I don't know the market value of gold, so I'm not sure how much, like, you know, a piece of gold the size of my fingernail would get me. But could I have a piece of gold the size of my fingernail just because? I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't have one, but sure, you can have one.
No, my hope's up there. So this is worth between $11 million and $15 million, and I think there's a difference there because of which dollars it is, which again, like with when we did Crazy Rich Asians and trying to figure out how much $40 million is if it's not U.S. dollars, if you're going to have the same name, shouldn't you be worth the same amount of money? Like, aren't...
Is that a rule or something?
But it's just confusing. Otherwise, if there's multiple countries that use dollars, but it's like... Oh, the U.S. dollars versus the Australian dollars. It's like, this is going back to, let's just make our own clicks just because our dollars are better than your dollars. You can't handle our dollars. Just like, why? It's like, if I have a pound, that pound should be... And actually, since British Commonwealth, the pound might not be the same in every country, so never mind. Maybe this is just a regular thing and I'm complaining because I'm confused.
It's okay. You can complain because you're confused.
Yes. But this is just incredibly lucky, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean,
I'm happy when I find, like, a quarter on the ground. Right. People are finding cantaloupe-sized chunks of gold.
And they're not even looking for it. Like, that's just not fair. I mean, fine, technically you were doing all the hard work of mining, so you should get something for your work for there, but you were looking for nickel. You should get nickel then.
Is this right? $1,193.60 for an ounce?
$1,000-something for an ounce of gold?
It could be. And that's what I'm trying to figure out, if I'm looking at this wrong.
I mean, that makes sense, because it's 9,000 ounces and 11 million. I think that works out properly. My math is bad.
I don't know. The calculator's in front of Heidi.
Oh, no, I'm not even going near that.
Yeah, we'll have Sarah for research, and we'll make Heidi do all the number crunching.
Oh, that'll go very badly, trust me.
And then be like, I heard it on the podcast that it's whatever. It's like 11 million. like, no, that's 21. What are you talking about?
Oh, gosh.
We're completely off. We would be. That's just how we do it here at GSMC. But, yeah, I have never been this lucky, even with, like, the lottery. I've gotten a ticket. Like, if I buy a scratcher, I'll maybe once every, like, 20 times win a free ticket. Which then gets my hopes up and then crashes them terribly because nothing comes from that second ticket whatsoever.
Right. Well, and the problem with the lottery is you have to actually play it to win. I never win the lottery. Right. I don't get it.
Why don't they just give it to me?
Right. I'm a nice person.
I'm a citizen. Don't I get
they clearly just have it.
Can't there be the, hey, you're a nice person lottery?
Right.
Just submit a resume.
There you go.
Yeah, Sarah's resume. She's really good. She looks things up. She pronounces hard words. She types fast.
Oh, man, I'm not getting anything. Thanks.
This is why you haven't won the lottery. They looked at that resume and were like, no.
No.
But now I'm thinking, you know, if $11 million, this obviously belongs to the company, but I do hope, like, the actual miners who found it get something. Because I'd be pissed if it was
how
like...
How does that work?
Yeah, how...
Is there a finder's fee?
Just a commission?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm thinking, like, do you get, like, a bonus? Like, the people who worked for Veruca Salt when she was looking for the golden ticket? It's like,
oh, yeah.
Whichever one finds it gets whatever. It's like, I do hope you get something, because, I mean, technically the mine owns the mineral rights to that area, and so it's gold, and so they own it, but...
I don't know how that... would work.
I'd be upset if I got, you know, like, whatever. I get $14 an hour, and then I discover anywhere from $11 to $15 million worth of gold.
And I got $14 for that hour.
For finding cantaloupe-sized pieces of gold.
Yeah.
And then I have to be back here on Monday for more $14 an hour. She'd be like, I protest, and I wish I could go back in time and hide that, though how you'd hide 3 cantaloupe-sized chunks.
Maybe it's, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's an employee-owned company.
Oh, okay.
And then, just because so we can be positive.
But see, but then, because I can always take things negative.
I know you can.
What if it's like, what if it's like, hey, I was working and that was the 7th hour out of my 8-hour shift when I found that. But so-and-so who's been out on vacation wasn't here at all. But because it's employee owned, we have to share it. See, now I'm thinking of the whatever where the hen made the bread again. It's just like, you weren't even here. You didn't even help me grind the wheat. Why do you get any gold?
There's even a New Testament parable about this. But, you know, we... there's all kinds of stories.
Yes. So it's not clear. It does sound... It doesn't even sound like the mine is like, oh, hey, now we're saved! Because they were trying to sell it off, and I didn't see anything where they're like, okay, now we're not going to do that anymore. Presumably, you'd think they'd stick around and make sure there was no more gold. But...
Well, especially with $11 million, I think you can cover your operating costs.
Yeah. Stay to get the rest of the nickel.
Yeah.
The original reason you were there.
But if you said, like, you know what? I could be doing so much more with my time, like finding other places where there are cantaloupe-sized chunks of gold. Wouldn't you be like, I'm out of here?
Are there really that many places with gold like that?
I'm sure right. There probably aren't anymore.
Looking for sunken treasure? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always surprised when I hear about people finding gold nowadays, because it's like, I'm from California, I learned the whole California history about Golden State, there's no gold left in those hills. Like, none whatsoever. We mined them all out with water and dynamite and whatever. Yeah, yeah. They're all gone, right? What, you found gold? What the heck, and why am I not out there?
Yeah.
I'd probably waste my life doing that, because I just don't have any luck. Heidi, sadness. Have you ever won anything?
I think in elementary school, I won a raffle and got like a scooter, but I only won because I didn't know how to play a raffle, so I just stuffed all of my tickets into that box. Like, I didn't know you could put them in other boxes.
Hey, it worked. I mean, if you wanted the scooter.
I was excited about the scooter. When they opened it, there was like 20 of my tickets, like all just bunched up. Like, I didn't even separate them.
Nice.
I just, like, shoved the whole ream in there. They're like, well, aww. I guess she wins.
Nice. That's
so cute.
Strategy.
Right? I mean,
naive strategy.
Yeah, but it's nice luck, like beginner's luck almost, or lucked into it or something.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. It's just, how do you go about getting luck besides, I guess, putting, but you're not supposed to put all your eggs in one basket, so I can't do that.
Oh, nickel. Christmas. Nickel, not so great.
No.
No.
What's nickel?
Like 35 cents an ounce.
See, this is why they were trying to sell it.
They were trying to sell it.
Like, yeah, I hope they stick around for at least, like, I don't even know how long you could figure out how to stick around before being like, there's no more gold here whatsoever. Like a month or a week, 3 months. And how long has this mine been operating that they never found this
never
before?
Found it. They just went down the other, like, tunnel.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They just took the other turn.
Or there's a threshold of you have to go down so far before you can find the gold because...
And, you know, when I think of gold, I mean, when the California gold rush, you think of people panning for gold.
Yeah.
But then I also think of, like, veins of gold, which are fairly small, cantaloupe size. Like, this is the part that's amazing to me. It's not a vein of gold, unless it's a really, really, really big vein.
Well, the thing that I want to figure out, because I saw the pictures of them in cantaloupe, I would go kind of with, like, more small watermelon than cantaloupe, but they're specks of gold in what looks to be like a sort of whitish rock. How do you know how many ounces there are if you didn't immediately go through and take them all out?
Right, so it's just
would probably take a guess. Or you were just like, these rocks are so many ounces, and we're just going to say that's all gold until we figure it out. Like, what if it's only the gold on the outside and all the inside is just
the inside's just nothing?
And did they make sure it's not fool's gold?
That was my underthought,
too.
There's
that episode of Little House on the Prairie that was just depressing as a child.
Aw. And why is, I mean, I get why fool's gold is called fool's gold, but what is it even?
Just another mineral, I think, another
shiny
rock.
It's just shiny gold looking.
It looks like, yeah.
But it's not like we make gold into, like, you know, electrical wires, unless we just want to be silly.
The super rich Asians probably do.
I bet they do. They have the gold toothbrushes and the gold, you know, ridiculous things you don't need to be gold.
It's pyrite.
But if it looks like gold and we're not actually doing anything useful with gold, why can't it just be like gold?
Maybe it's just like not as durable as gold, you know?
Right,
as
long-lasting.
Can you make it into jewelry or something along those lines?
Probably. But that was the test, wasn't it? To make sure it was real gold?
You bite it. Yep.
And that's why, you know, there's the thing even with the Olympics where they pretend to be biting it. Because that country
you don't
would
trust
totally
that,
short
right?
you. That country especially would make their gold medal out of fake gold. I'm not saying who. You all know who it is, but that country is just like...
I remember, like, in school we did, like, miner days where we'd go out and, like, pan for gold, and it was all just fake gold, but it was so exciting.
I remember.
See, I grew up in Montana where you can go to certain ghost towns and pan for garnets. It's not gold, but you look for garnets, which is, I mean, those are red and pretty, but...
Okay, it took me a moment. I thought you said garnish.
Garnish, yes, yes.
Yes, you found that in the river.
Like, I know where you grew up. It's very interesting, but why are you paying for garnish?
Because we're hunter-gatherers.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I understand now. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story today, to just continue with the make me feel bad about myself internet theme, is that a man won a bookshop in a raffle.
Why were they raffling off a bookshop?
And more importantly, why have they never raffled off a bookshop near me?
Why have they never just given you a bookshop?
Right, exactly. That's the more important question here.
And do I have the business sense to run a bookshop, or would I just live in it?
Right, exactly.
Get out of my bookshop! I'm not selling!
It's like, if I win a bookshop, do I actually need to make money to keep that open, or does it, like, come with the land free and clear, and I can just have it there, and people can come in and look, but not do anything with?
Just become my personal library?
It's also a very risky strategy. You're just assuming the other person knows how to run a bookshop successfully.
Yeah. Yes, and that's actually not worked out well, because that was a big thing in Berkeley, where Sarah and I went to school, was that Cody's Books was bought by a new owner. And I was like, oh, this will be great, and he's going to save it. And then it closed very quickly.
I mean, does this person who won the raffle know how to keep books? Does this, I mean, in terms of money books, does this person know
you
how to...
You just look at them and smile.
Right. No, I will keep
pet
you.
Them.
But do they know how to order books? You know, I mean, there's a billion books out there. How do you know, what are the ordering sites? How do you figure out which one is going to sell and which one isn't?
And how does this work legally? Like, do I just go get a notary that says, I now sign over my bookshop to whoever, and does that person, like, own taxes? Or just... how does that work? You can just give someone a bookshop? you transfer all the deeds and titles and bills into their name, or
I assume so.
The other person just won't leave the shop until you walk away. I don't know how
you're
that
not
works.
Allowed out of this bookshop until you accept it. But so this is at Bookends, which is in Ceredigion or Cardigan, Wales. I want to say it's Ceredigion, and I think that the place that said Cardigan just had automatic spell check changed it into Cardigan. But I'm also probably not pronouncing Ceredigion properly.
In Cardigan, I would only wear cardigans.
I feel like you have to.
I feel, yeah.
It's a national joke.
And if I owned a bookshop, of course I would wear cardigans.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Although, in the picture I saw, neither of them was wearing cardigans.
That's
so I think it must be Ceredigion. Or however you pronounce that actually in Welsh, which I'm sure I'm completely butchering. So this bookshop's only about 4 years old, and the owner actually did not want to give it up, but he kind of was forced into early retirement because of osteoarthritis. So he decided it was such a great, life to have owned a bookshop. He wanted to give someone else that opportunity. So rather than selling it off, he decided he would raffle it off.
How much were tickets?
So the tickets were open to anyone who spent more than £20 in the last 3 months. £20 is about $26. So I should have been in that raffle a number of times. I would have easily been in there.
You could have had my raffle strategy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like I saw this article somewhere. It's sounding vaguely familiar, but why would I have not read it more thoroughly?
Shame on you.
Me we're talking about.
Exactly. So, and this is interesting because the shop is actually profitable. It's not even I have arthritis and the shop's not doing anything.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Cardigan is a town and community in the county of Ceredigion in Wales.
That's not at all confusing.
There you go. Cardigan, Ceredigion.
And you're saying they weren't wearing cardigans in the picture?
They weren't wearing cardigans. Okay, fine. So the winner is, and I'm going to completely butcher this, Sejan van Heerden from the Netherlands. So fine, technically he's not from there, so maybe he's not wearing a cardigan, but shouldn't the owner at least have been in a cardigan?
Just at least for the picture.
I feel like you are letting your town down here, sir.
I feel like the photographer should have been more on the ball. Here, I have cardigans in my bag. Put them on.
Sure. Right, exactly. I cannot take this picture until you're properly dressed. So I'm actually surprised there were only about 60 people who entered.
What?
I'm it's 26 books, $26 worth of books. That's easy. It's one book, depending on what you buy. It's why is there, I'm just going to assume that he did not advertise this and it did not get out because he wanted someone who had the true love of books.
Oh, that would be hilarious. You just suddenly get an email or something. Hey, you spent $26 in my bookstore. You win!
But I didn't sign up for the reward card. That's not what it is. You win! But yeah, so I want to say that I'm hoping that that's what it was. That it was just I want to see if you have the true heart a la Willy Wonka. So it would only be open to the people who are here regularly enough to spend the $26 without knowing there's even a raffle going on.
But the winner was from the Netherlands, so how was he there?
Was he a tourist?
Yeah, how was he a regular?
And continuing with I'm questioning so many legal things, how does this now work as the Brexit's coming up? Because he's from the Netherlands, and this is in Wales, and he's going to run this with his friend, who is from Iceland, but since Britain is getting out of the EU, it's do you even get to own this bookshop anymore, since you're not British?
He just picked a friend, I think you'd be great in a bookstore.
Right? Or you should have at least picked a British friend, and then he can be the legal owner, and you can be the de facto owner.
Doesn't have any British friends.
He's in the bookshop all the time, and that was the thing, is the owner said he knows him. He's seen him a number of times. He's constantly in that bookstore. So,
a constant tourist to that area? Likes cardigans? I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe
not
the owner
to
keeps
one.
The bookshop in name and then just goes and relaxes and the guy gets to run it but doesn't actually legally own it.
Oh, wait. No, that's not.
That's King Lear. But so anyways, the other thing that I really love about this beyond all the why is this not my life is that when the drawing happened to see who would win, they played ABBA's The Winner Takes It All.
Nice.
Because of course you do. Isn't that played at every raffle drawing? It's just
was it
by
played
law.
At your raffle drawing, Heidi?
Not that I remember. I mean, I probably just scootered away. I didn't think about the music.
You're just just give me my scooter and I'm going to go. And yeah. I mean, you probably couldn't scooter to another country, and you probably
just
have
doing
to
donuts
win.
In the parking lot at 8.
Right, of course, as you do. Yes, I think this is interesting, even if it does leave me with a whole host of legal questions about how this works. It'd be one thing if it was guy from Cardigan, Ceredigion wins bookshop from Cardigan, Ceredigion. Okay, fine. That
next
makes
door neighbor.
Sense, right, exactly. The grocer up the street, his son really likes to read, so he won it. But it's a totally complete foreign person who won this, so How does he get to this bookstore?
Well, the raffle took place over 3 months, so regulars who spent money over 3 months. So maybe he was on an extended vacation. But what's even weirder now, as I'm looking into this more, is that the friend that he's going to run the bookshop with from Iceland, yes. They've never met.
Right.
They met on the internet, and they've never actually met face-to-face, but now they're going to own a bookstore together.
Like, this feels sort of like You've Got Mail in reverse. It's like, instead of we're closing a bookstore, we're opening a bookstore together with a person I've never met who might not actually be the person I think you are, because that's how it always works online. Just, I want to know, and I mean, I guess you can do this much more easily in Europe than you can anywhere else. It's probably just like a train ride or something, but why does the Netherlands guy come to Wales to buy books as opposed to in the Netherlands? Like, I mean, I would totally do that if I was near enough to another country to buy their books. I'd be like, absolutely, yeah.
Maybe he goes there a lot on work.
Or maybe.
And so whenever he's there on work, he goes and buys a book.
So now he's got a different work. He's going
to
stay there on work.
Yeah, now he's going to move to Wales.
I have to go to an indefinite work trip.
Maybe
so
he just,
I'll
like,
be back never.
Works for a cardigan company there or something, yes. So he has to go often.
Well, now I'm upset if there's any cardigan company outside of Cardigan.
I wonder if he's married and how does the spouse right. feel? You know, like, you come home, hey, guess what? I just want a bookstore. You want to move to Wales?
With my friend who I met on the internet from Iceland.
I'd be like, so you're cheating on me. That's the best excuse you can come up with?
Yes, you want a bookstore to wait.
Sure, okay.
Sure. Hey, it's clever. I'll give him points for ridiculous.
Yes. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.